And we are live. What is happening, ladies and gentlemen?
Welcome to another Sunday Night Knicks Corner podcast. It's your main man, Coach Fi.
Now, you know we got to do that right.
Coach Fi and Danny B in the building.
You know what I mean? And your main man, Danny B. No, wait. Yes, Danny B. He's over there today. Yes.
Yeah, man. Back to bring you that Nick news. We got some stuff to cover, some games this past weekend that went down. So I definitely want to get into some nitty gritty, and then bring some guests up, and we'll have ourselves an old fashioned Knicks throwdown. You know, takes Let's after takes. Let's do it, bro.
Feel the city in the jersey when you wear it.
When you wear it,
orange and blue coursing through your whole spirit.
Your whole spirit.
That bright lights be hotter than a sauna. This that Knicks music. This that Knicks corner.
Yes, sir. Intro indeed. I love that, man. Gets me going, you know what I'm saying? Like, ready to rock. I'm ready to rock, man.
Yes. How you doing? I am.
Okay. I like it. Listen, by the end of the show, we're going to make sure that you are good. All right? That's my goal of this show.
Oh, I am what? Yeah, you know me. I am what I am. But I do notice, even though it is not the same styling, it is still in the same vein. You got a Knicks hoodie on. I got a Knicks hoodie on. That's still very, very hard.
You know how we do. I had to rock my boy Quick today, man.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? He did his thing tonight. You know, I feel like he's definitely had his slumps throughout the season. You know, I guess you could call it the sophomore slumps, you know, hitting that wall a little bit. But the one thing he has done consistently throughout the season is, you know, usually when we have a resurgence in a game, maybe not so much over the last couple of weeks, but definitely throughout the season, if you go back and look, he's made a big impact in those games where, you know, we've been coming back and, you know, we're bringing a punch. He's been a big factor in being behind those pushes. So, you know, kudos to him for trying to get it going today. You know, late in the game, he definitely helped us bring it right to their doorstep. Just unfortunately, we couldn't, you know, overcome the threshold, really. Good Sixers team, man. Embiid and Harden, you know, they haven't played together much, but they have an opportunity to do something special.
No, I mean, Harden takes that pressure off of Embiid that Ben Simmons just plain couldn't. And Tobias Harris was an afterthought completely and utterly, and it was okay.
Yeah, he was quiet tonight.
Because
didn't matter, like you
Tyrese
said.
Tyrese Maxey jumped out there. Now I will say this. The reason why it got out of hand very simply was because Mitch and Jericho found out.
I'll tell you. I went to the game with Chris Persiana, and we'll get into all that because I had a blast before the game, after the game. We all we had a couple guys down there, and it was a good time. But before the game, what I was going to say is I was talking with Chris Persiana, and he nailed it. You know, he said right off the bat, you know, with Embiid in here, he's like, Mitch is going to probably put up five fouls. Sims is going to get into foul trouble, you know, and they're going to have to shuffle. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. You know, Robinson actually fouled out, and I think Sims had five also.
No, they both fouled out.
It was tough, man. He proves unstoppable at times.
Yeah, you know what, though? But some of those fouls were not fouls, especially early.
Right.
So, you know, ticky-tack stuff that they let get away with later on in the game, both Mitch and Jericho fell victim to that. And at the same time, I found it interesting that in a game where we're still in it, Tibbs decides to go with Randall and Obi as opposed to bringing Noel's, as Nerlens Jenky behind into the game. Now, yep. I'm not saying that Noel is the future or any of that, but the size of him would have given Joel Embiid a bit more to have to deal with and fresh legs to have to deal with that with. not bringing in Taj wouldn't have made sense. So
I don't want to see him.
I didn't see that. I'm glad I didn't see that.
I'm with you.
But, and again, I'm actually glad he went small with Randall and Obi. But in doing so, where they were supposed to collapse, I feel like, and kind of double Embiid, I didn't see the collapse of the two big men on the court a lot. You know what right. I mean? It was like Obi kept sticking with his man, but he didn't need to do that. He needed to hedge or needed to just outright double team and put Embiid in a really tough situation. But that really wasn't happening. I mean, Randall can't handle that man by himself.
No, hold on. I actually have a great freaking clip just to show a little bit of how tough it was with Embiid. And this is a clip where we had two guys on him, guarding him the best that we could, no fouls, and he still just gets right in there and just rips it clean, man. Hang on one sec. I got that over here. Because I thought this was definitely an interesting piece to show. So hang on one sec. I'll let this rock. Oh no, this was Harden right here, right? But same thing, man. As he comes right in, we got two guys on him, you know, and again, he's just, where's that freaking thing? He's just right able to
James Harden is one of the top three scorers in the league right now. Just once he gets that head of steam going, he's going to score.
Not only that, but once he's interested, once he's motivated to play, once he feels like he has a team around him that's going to contribute as much as he's going to contribute, I think he's gonna hustle a little bit more than what we've seen. And yeah, I
keep hearing that, Danny. But, I mean, a fish is a fish. I don't care what water you put him in. A fish is a fish. A trout will be a trout in fresh water, salt water, whatever. A trout's still going to be a trout. He's still going to swim upstream. Kyrie, the same. Folk going to be who they are. It don't really matter the uniform he's wearing. This is nice for now. If they don't win the chip this year or next year, I guarantee you there's going to be some Harden noise somewhere.
Oh, of course. There always is.
He's only going to be content and quiet. I mean, he's got a guy in Embiid that, you know, I don't know if he's had since he was on the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Right.
So I think it'll silence a bit. But they could win a chip. As soon as he gets in a mood or breaks up with a girlfriend in the city, he's ready to go.
Yeah, very true.
You know, I don't know. But, I mean, end of day, if our size did not foul out, I don't know how this game ends.
That's a good point.
We were in it.
Free throws.
Embiid took over in the last 6-7 minutes of that game, and there was no stopping the freight train. Oh, if only we could have. And at the same time, this is a game that we really miss Grimes, because having Grimes on Maxey and or Harden would have just given another wrinkle, another dimension.
Yeah. 100%, man.
It's time to flip Cam for Fournier, though.
I think if we lose, say, another 3-4 games and it's clear that the math just doesn't add up, hopefully Tibbs will start conceding a little bit more. Like, I'll take Sims's backup center minutes as a first step.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, think about it. If Grimes was healthy, he'd be playing. Sims is definitely playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do love what he brings to the table. He just needs to keep developing that and get better at that and stay healthy. And yeah, I mean, the only thing is he is not an offensive threat like at all yet. Like at mm-hmm. all. He doesn't even look to put for putbacks and stuff. Like unless it's a lob, he's really not paying attention to it.
He's very disciplined to just where he needs to be and trying to make sure that he's getting to his spots, you know, before the offense, obviously. I think that throughout the season, the little bit that we have seen him, he's definitely looked better than the last time, last season. Yes. And I feel like he shows a little bit more every time. Yeah, so
definitely.
Hopefully the more that he gets, the more he shows, man. And that leads us to another person that I'd love to see more of, and that's Deuce. I mean, our team is screaming point guard. We need a point guard, right? And it's like we have this guy here waiting in the wings, and we're at a point in the season now where, like we just said, we're pretty much mathematically, you know, out of the play-in. Of course, there's still games left, so that could change. But for the most part, we're pretty much – that's where the rest of the season's going, right? So I kind of want to start seeing – more of the younger guys just get a shot. I mean, you have nothing else to lose. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, you're using Burks right now as a point.
I hear you on that. I don't mean to cut you off. I hear you on that.
You're good.
End of the day, what I am seeing is IQ is a very good point guard off the bench. I don't know if he's our starting point guard yet, though. I don't
know either, but you know what? Like, this is the time to start playing around with it and giving it the opportunity to grow.
I mean, because
so he has been playing with starters, you've noticed, IQ. Yeah. Like, through not starting with the lineups as it is, of course, but throughout the motion of the quarters, you know, he's been ending up with the starters. He had a great run today, which, you know, in that fourth quarter, we were, you know, making a run for it. We were right neck and neck with them. And
that's what I'm saying. And then we lost our Alec size. Burks
in, and –
no, I don't think it was we put Alec Burks in necessarily.
You know what? It went from Quick bringing the ball up to Burks bringing the ball up. You know? And it didn't have to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that was a coaching decision or just the way the game flowed and just so happens that he was bringing the ball up in Quick.
The momentum, man, it left right there. You know what I mean?
Again, I don't agree. I think momentum left when our two bigs got fouled out because then there was nobody to stop anybody down low. And B literally started eating and feasting, dunking and running through, and momentum changed.
To a degree.
I don't know. I honestly, I think it more of a degree for the lack of defense than it was because quickly over Alec Burks. Honestly, I hear you on that.
But I just feel like what we had riding with the lineup that we had and what was going on the court, mm-hmm.
Quickly was still in the game. It's not like he was out of the game.
No. Yes, so, but what I'm saying is you the momentum itself was disturbed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the lineup
of course
that
it was
rocking.
We lost
was
our disturbed. Size.
Right. I'm just saying. I don't think it was the right move. You know what I'm saying? I would have went with somebody else. Why not throw Cam in there?
I don't think that would have stopped the freight train from happening, whomever it was, whether it was Deuce or not. I don't think that would have stopped what Embiid was doing because he had Randall and Obi down there that he was just feasting on. That wasn't going to change regardless of the point guard.
No, but I'll tell you what, though. At the end of the second quarter, going into the half, right, Mitch picked up a foul or Sims picked up a foul, and instead of taking one of them out and putting the other in or vice versa, they didn't put either in, and they ended up putting Cam in and moving Julius to the five. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
and
why
at
not?
At that time, because the game wasn't on the line, that's fine. But when the game was on the line, that's when Embiid gets
he goes right
to go
back.
In peace.
I guess. But,
I mean,
but also,
that's what I saw. That's what I saw had changed the momentum, and where we just couldn't hang anymore was down in the paint and Embiid going off, and then Harden getting everybody else in ticky-tack foul trouble. And all of a sudden, 5 points became 15.
And so,
I mean, again, offensively, sure, we weren't making our shots, but, you know, there that is. And I'm not sure how many free throws we left at the table yet again.
Yep, too many.
Which is something else we do. But, again, if you want to put it on Burks, okay. But, you know, again, I just saw it a different way on that one.
I'm totally with you on that, man. I'm totally with you on that. Let me ask you a question. Let's move back a game now and go towards the Miami Heat game. Talk to me about your thoughts on RJ's 46-point night.
Oh, well, you know what? I kind of moved on for that game because I did. Once I do my next minutes on them, they go out of the mental Rolodex to the next one. I mean, and again, and it wasn't a win. It was a great game for RJ. It really was. And it was yet another game that we lost late in the game.
Yep.
And you know,
it's been nonstop, man. It's crazy.
The frustrating part is we have been in, I'll say, 15 of the last 20 games. At a point where if this were last season, we win those games. But for some reason, this season, we know what the result is.
Yep.
And, I mean, again, the reason why I call for Cam is between what I saw with the Heat and what I saw this afternoon, he plays long. He's lanky, but he's got a nice length to him. He's very athletic. Defensively, he can get better, but I feel like he does have a few instincts.
Right.
He reminds me of maybe what his body, as far as his body build, his frame, he reminds me of Brandon Ingram.
I could see that. I mean,
they have a very similar frame.
They definitely do.
If he could develop his game to be like Brandon Ingram, then we got a little gem. But I don't know.
Yeah, we got to see. We got to see if it turns out that way, you know?
I mean, RJ is a beast. Time. And if he had hit them daggone and missed 8 free throws, he would have had his 50 and life would have been happy for him. But end of day, it's like, I mean, I've said this last year. I said this at the beginning of this year. You know, if RJ wasn't going to be an All-Star this year, he will by next year because he's really, that's where his trajectory is going.
Yep.
And I feel like he bulked up even from the time with the ankle. His shoulders looked bigger when he came back during the Miami game. And he's definitely not playing bully ball, but he's utilizing that strength, you know, in his arms and in his upper body. You know, to not just finish, but to create space and to finish through contact. So RJ's on the rise. I mean, and we know that anyone who doesn't is
denying themselves, man.
Yeah, because this is what trajectory looks like. You know what I mean? Ja Morant is on a different squad. His role is different, and honestly, he's a lot more offensively explosive than I realized.
Mm-hmm.
RJ is, I feel like, more complete because RJ's defense is a lot better than his.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and I feel like the way RJ sees the game, he sees the floor. He hit off a couple of passes in there. I was like, yeah, you keep doing that, young man. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is get, somebody said 75%. He need to get to 80% of his free throws.
Totally agree. And it's 80%. I was thinking the exact same number. 80% would be great. Big step up. Yeah. It would definitely help, man.
He could easily get him at All-Star numbers because, dude, how many times did he get to the free throw line tonight? You know,
yep.
He got to the free throw line a grip during the Heat game. It was like, especially in the final minutes, like in the fourth quarter, every time he turned around, he was at the free throw line.
Yep. It seems like he's finally 100% healthy. You know what I mean? Yes. Even with the ankle, you could say that. But the way he's playing,
and he's 100% like, confident in that game of his now.
Right,
he
we're getting
what he can do, and he trusts himself. He doesn't get as frustrated anymore when he misses shots.
Yep, 100% agree, man.
Especially early on in his career, he would get mad, and I'd see him on that bench, and I'm like, dude, you gotta calm down. You're taking your mind straight out of the game, and that's when he would go cold and not be able to hit anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's out of that stretch. But, I mean, there's promise there. I like that dynamic of him and Cam on the floor at the same time, too.
Definitely. We've seen a lot of good things come of it.
They've got instincts. They've played together before. And the more they play together coming up, the more chemistry they're going to have and the more their muscle memory is going to keep coming back between those two. Because there's embedded chemistry there. So, I mean.
Oh, definitely.
It sucks right now. It does because we are not where we were. And we don't really understand why we're not where we were. But there are some things to take away from these games as we're watching.
Oh, 100%, man. And that's what I'm looking for in these remaining games. You know what I'm saying? Are the little things to take away that we could start looking to, okay, this is what they got to work on. This is what I want to see happen in the offseason. We'll see how they develop from there, you know. But overall, I feel like we're collectively at a point now where we could definitively say, okay, after what we saw last season, we know what the front office was thinking. You know what I mean? We knew what their plan was before Julius, you know, popped out and started doing his thing. They shifted, looking to take a swing at that success, building on it. Didn't happen. You played it out all the way to this point.
I don't know, man.
Well, what I'm saying
is, I hear that, but I mean, again, I go back to the Woj conversation and all that stuff. So to me, that doesn't necessarily jive with the way I heard and the way I have it understood as how that thing came together. So I don't know if they just felt like taking a swing with Julius to see what it could do, and then okay, we had a different plan. I don't necessarily.
I'm saying, I'll lay it out. So the way that I'm looking at it is, they drafted Obi for a reason. Right. I mean, with everybody else that was on the board that they could have taken.
Everyone says that. And I mean, okay.
But it just makes sense. We need point guards. Like, how come we didn't look to do anything to do? So regardless, they got a guy like Obi. Right. So now we have two power forwards that we're looking to see which one is going to do what. Right. We already saw Randall, you know, through the last few years. So I felt like they were looking to make a move and push forward, you know. So regardless of what happened,
then
Randall,
why meet that season, with him in the offseason at all?
What's that?
But then why do all that stuff in the offseason with him at all?
What do you mean?
All the meetings that he had with World Wide West and all these other folk before that they were hired even, before they hired Tibbs and all that stuff. Why do any of that if you're number one drafting
him? You got to have some kind of a plan from the get-go.
No, your plan is to trade him. Shake hands, hey, great to meet you, right on. You draft, as you just said, if they drafted Obi to be his replacement and you're the new regime, do what you're supposed to do.
But there's still,
that's the same thing that happened with Phil when he ended up giving Melo that second contract. He should have never did that. You know,
I'm with you on that.
Just don't worry about appeasing nobody. You have a plan. Stick with your plan. Let us see what that plan is supposed to be, as opposed to being in something like this, and now you got egg on your face, and now it looks like you're retreating and trying something brand new next year.
Right.
If you just went all in on this and got us a point guard last year.
Right.
You know, instead of, you know, cut. I mean, because to me, if you drafted Obi to replace Randle, and yet you're not replacing Randle, you just wasted a draft pick. So to me, I mean, end of day, if you're not going to move Randle, what'd you do it for?
I think they were looking to raise his point guard. I think they were looking to raise his value, as they've shown that they do continuously, and eventually would look to do something. But instead, he balled out, and it was like, this is where
that would be even better money while he's balling out the same way they did.
Not sustainable. I looked at it like it happened, and it wasn't the plan, right? And they had to go with the flow of it, you know what I'm saying? Because they had so much success, but I don't think the team overall, from a bird's eye view, was ready for a fourth seed playing spot, because now we're chasing playoffs. We were in rebuild mode, you know what I'm saying? We were saying it all last year. We took so many steps forward. Right. Maybe it was too many, right? And so that's what I feel like happened. And you had to take that opportunity because of the way that Randle was playing. You couldn't just not, you know what I mean, build upon that and see it. We have all these assets. I mean, we're playing only, like this.
Again,
let's put
all
our chips
in
the middle.
If your goal is to not build this around Randle, trade him. Because, again, look at it now. His value is nowhere near right now today where it was this time last year.
Oh, of course. Of course.
It's not there. So, again, and it's not, no offense to you whatsoever. If
no,
that's
course.
What the front office's goal was, I think it was doomed to fail. Because you're a new regime, so you're given a pass that first year in whatever you do. Play them, you see the defense, you see it go, boom. Now, based on some of the moves that they made this offseason, perhaps you're right. But to me, that sabotaged whatever good that we built last year by making the team uncomfortable for Randle to stay. That Melo crap, to me, don't work. You trade his two best friends away. You bring in two guys that do not play defense, and he melts down. And the trade deadline yet again comes and goes, and he's still here. Right. And you gave him a new contract. If your goal was to let his ass go, why in the world did you pay him to stay?
Optics.
And again, that, see, these agendavized things to me, optics, you know, how does it look?
But that's how they move. But, and they proved it out, time and time again.
I hear you, but hear me out, man.
Of course.
Time and time again, we've done that for the last 15 years, and it does not work because it doesn't work. Because optics is not the way to run this business.
Correct, but this is New York City, and that's how they do it, man.
You can't appease everybody. There's going to be a faction of folk that's not going to like whatever it is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you got to be steadfast in whatever it is you're trying to do. Trying to change the culture. How are we going to change the culture by approaching it the same way we've done for the past 10 or plus years? Because what this is leading to now is now we definitely got to jettison. We got to cut ties with Randall. We're probably going to fire Tibbs. And what's different? What's different?
To me, nothing.
And that's the problem because we were sold that this is going to be different.
But that's why it's optics, man. And nothing's changed.
And you know? That's, I mean, again, dude. How much longer are you going to spin wheels and keep, I mean, we had the momentum that we had last season. Why not? Even if your plan was to eventually move. Listen, we know Randall is not the number one. We know this.
Right.
Let's take this season to see what RJ does. But one thing is for certain. We need to get them a quality point guard who can play defense in Tibbs' daggone system. We don't need a guy like Campbell or John Wall who could break down in the middle of the season or who's going to cap strap us and break down in the middle of the season. Excuse me. We need solid guys in here to run this, to give these guys their opportunity. To me, if you had done that in this offseason, and honestly, what I say about Burks in this offseason, Danny?
Go for it. I just woke up from a nap.
I'm asking you to remember.
You put me on the spot. I don't remember, man. I just woke up from a nap. That's what I'm saying.
Burks or Bullock?
Oh, you wanted Bullock, right?
He costs less. Apparently, and I didn't know at the time, but apparently he was wild close with Randall.
Mm-hmm. They were.
And he plays great defense. To me, getting rid of him wouldn't hurt. Moving him didn't move a needle either way, as far as your books or anything. Burks, moving Burks off your books actually opened up a couple of more salary pieces.
Right.
Because Burks makes more money. And then to keep him, you had to sign him. So you gave him even more money. Where you could have still given Bullock more money and still would have been less overhead.
Right. I just, well, if going back to that conversation, we were looking at Burks as more of a Swiss Army knife, right? Because I remember using that term specifically. Yes. And I like
and
the
look
way
what it's done. It's gotten,
I like what you're saying, but it's
got tips to use him, and we don't want him to use him. So if he wasn't here, it's not like Bullock would be running point.
No, but
because Burks is here, they got to use him.
You're right. And listen, maybe. Listen, this is the Knicks. Nothing goes our way perfectly, right? It just it's just what it is. So,
well, that decision, yeah,
hindsight
was
is 2020 for sure. But going back to that conversation and that time frame and where we were looking at it like Bullock doesn't put the ball on the floor too often. Burks can at least do that. Burks does still play defense. He can still knock down the shots. The problem is Burks, like you exactly we just said, a Swiss Army knife. He's being used in one of those pieces way too much, and it's not his natural flow of his game. Mm-hmm. So although yes, he has the ability to do it, it's
right.
Not
we don't always want
leaning
him to
on
do it.
And depending on, right.
And honestly, at the end of the day, if he wasn't here and Bullock was here, IQ and Grimes would have gotten a lot more run earlier in this season. Because they both did show something even in the offseason. So Tibbs was playing them. So I feel like if Burks isn't here, we're not necessarily losing that guy. We're giving another guy an opportunity to rise in that role. And again, by the fall of the dice, Deuce would be getting more time even now, especially with D-Rose still out and having another procedure.
Yep. Now, supposedly, I just wanted to, because you brought it up, I figured let's just mention it. You know, all that was he had to clean up a prior surgery's infection spot. That's all it was. So
nothing major, guys. No, he's not back on the shelf or nothing. He's just he got a little icky on his on his skin, and he got the icky removed, and now he's just gonna be fine.
The time that it's gonna take for him to be back is literally the time it's gonna take for that wound to heal. You know what I mean? Exactly. Just it's literally just waiting for a wound to heal. That's it.
Yeah,
you know,
just take the Band-Aid off. Oh, it looked good. All right, let's play.
Now I definitely want to see him back in the lineup by at some point in the next couple of weeks, because I'd like to see, with whatever games that we have left, some type of a rhythm, you know, and some type of, just some continuity between the lineups. Hopefully we could find some type of rhythm and balance between both before the season ends, you know?
If we're going to be real, and that's kind of one of the things that I definitely appreciate about doing the show with you.
Now, I don't want him 40 minutes. I don't want him playing 30 minutes a game. No, but I want him at least in there to help bring some continuity. You know,
I hear you. I actually would like him to join Kemba in that shut it down crew. He's not going to be on this team next year, and if he is, it's not going to be at like a workable capacity. It's just not. You know,
we can't depend on him. We need a solid point.
So guard. I would much rather Deuce get those minutes as well. You know, give him that time. Give him and Grimes when he comes back, and Sims. Give and Obi. Give him the run. Give him the run of the house.
Right.
Roll the balls out. Let the kids have the balls. At least, you know, I mean, listen, as you said at the beginning of the show, really, what did they have to lose? And at least we, number one, we have more, our youth are a lot more confident because they have a lot more experience under their belt. You know, and if it ends up in some kind of crazy, fantastical Linsanity run with the babies on the way out the door, wouldn't that just be fantastic?
I'll tell you, man, if RJ can continue to ball the hell out.
He will.
Sims continue to, first of all, play, and second of all, start working on the little things in his game and, you know, continuously showing some more.
He just has to mature in his game. And, I mean, over time, he could really be a defensive stopper over time.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, listen, give him two more skills to work on for the rest of the season. Then in the offseason, give him another skill to work on. And then next year during the preseason, give him maybe another skill or another two skills to work on, something like that.
Yeah,
let him
man.
Build so he gets confidence in each level of what he knows how to do.
Now, and it's funny that you line that out like that, right? Because when I think about Mitch, and it's time now to make a decision, right? Are we going to pay this guy or not? That's something that comes to mind, you know, is each season he's been with us and we've watched him each year.
He's grown. He's taken so many steps and leaps, man.
But what weapons has he really added to his arsenal, though?
Oh, my gosh. See, again, and we've already talked about this, you and I, and we, again, agree for the most part, but there's some areas of this that we just don't agree. I feel like if we run our offensive system right and there's plenty of offensive rebounds and lobs for him, he can still get to 15 points a game, well, along with maybe 15 rebounds a game. And to me, that's absolutely fine. I don't need him out there shooting threes or even a mid-range shot. If he adds that, cool. But from what I've seen over the years that he's been with the team, his footwork has gotten a heck of a lot better. He's kept those defensive instincts for inside the paint as well as the perimeter. You know, if anything, with the extra strength that he's built, he's gotten better at not getting knocked out and knocked around and moved out of those places and spaces. He was giving Embiid a run for his money.
For a little bit.
Foul trouble.
Yeah, I I think Mitch plays best when the team that we're playing center is not, like, top notch. You know what I'm saying? Like, he eats when he doesn't have
players. That's most of the teams in this league, though. But
we gotta have some.
Okay, so how many teams in this league right now have elite centers? How many?
Well, they don't even have to be elite. I'm just looking at somebody who we could come, you know, who we could lean on.
How many of those teams are there?
What I'm saying is maybe five, maybe
out of like 30.
Of course, but what I'm saying is I need an above average center who can do a little bit more, who could put the ball on the floor, I don't get enough from Mitch. He could box out, he could put back all day long, but what else is he bringing us?
I don't think he need anything else. He's doing what Dwight Howard made a quote unquote arguable Hall of Fame career doing. I don't know why he needs to do more than that. I mean, I understand that we at times really need an offensive spark.
Right.
But I still think that we're blaming other positions for the fact that we don't have a point guard that can get things going and get people moved around and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think solving that solves a lot of the other issues just intrinsically. And it allows the guys that we have to have value. You know what I mean?
I'm with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate a little bit.
I've heard this before, and we've talked about this before.
Of course.
And again, at the end of the day, to me, he does what Dwight Howard does, and Dwight Howard, you know, made the All-Star games and Defensive Player of the Year and all of this stuff, doing that. You know, and Mitch can do that.
Right.
Mitch can block 2.5 shots a game. That's great. We've seen he can get double-digit rebounds. You know what I mean? Offensive and defensive rebounds.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And, I mean, end of day, if, like, for example, tonight, if we can't stop Harden, then how are we going? Because if Harden's going, he's going to get Embiid going. And that's going to give Mitch even more to deal with. And if Mitch is trying to break down at a paint, and when this is where a couple of his fouls came from, trying to over-defend. He had Embiid boxed out or whatever, but then he turns around and here comes Harden down his throat. So he's trying to react.
Stay with him.
You're right. I mean, again, so if other parts are working, you know what I mean? I feel like the parts that we're not seeing in Mitch, all of a sudden, his what knocks him becomes great. Because what he does is great, in my humble opinion. And it just keeps getting better every season. I don't want us to miss out because we're looking for somebody else, something else, Miles Turner. You know, sometimes let what we got cook. But we need that point guard to see. I can't really sit here and say I know I'm right because our point guards have sucked. They've always sucked.
I'm with you. I'm from the camp where, we pay Mitch. This is my perspective, right? We pay Mitch, hopefully on a good deal. We're not going crazy with giving him money. It is what it is. People are starting to get paid a little bit more. I'm okay with letting a little bit more go. I don't want to overpay, though. Now, the reason is because you take Mitch away from what we have now, right? What does that leave us with?
Nothing. Because then it literally makes no sense to keep Randall. RJ starts from scratch all over again.
I'd rather keep Mitch, right? Continue to develop Sims, and then maybe, you know, obviously Taj is probably going to be gone. I'd love to bring him on the staff, you know, welcome aboard.
Taj is not a piece. Noel, Taj will be assistant coach.
Noel was a freaking dud this season. You know, like last season, going into the season, we spoke about why it was worth it to give him a little bit of money, you know, to retain him and keep what we have together, right? He has not been even a shadow of what he brought last year at all.
And his body betrayed him this year. He's been unhealthy most of the year.
It's been so bad, you know.
I mean, come on. Players don't want to have this happen to themselves.
Oh, of course not.
He did not go once. When he sat and he signed his name and they gave him that little extra money check, he swore he was going to make more next season because he was going to do great.
Right, that was the whole point.
And then his body said, no, you're not. Snatch. Yep. And again, that was part of it. You know, Randall losing his friends. And honestly, dude, when you lose friends on your team, I get it now a little bit while he was in a funk, especially toward the beginning of the season. It's hard, especially when you're going through stuff and you're used to having somebody to talk to over there in that locker, and now that dude ain't there no more, and the dude that's sitting there, you don't necessarily even like.
Yeah, definitely, man. Listen, the environment changed.
I get it. I definitely get it.
When your good friend at work, you know what I mean, finds a better job, and now that your whole environment...
Or gets fired, one of the two. They not there no more. It's weird.
It is. It's just different. It's different.
And it takes a while, especially when you add a new person. It takes a while for you to get used to them to get used to you, and you to get used to your people not being there anymore.
Right. No,
I'm
absolutely
not excusing it, like, at all, because it costs us a season.
Right.
But I again, just like I said last week, I feel like the front office kind of really missed the boat and set us up. We didn't realize we're being set up, but they kind of set us up
a little bit
for what's really going on. And maybe this is their way of getting Randall out, get the fan base mad at him, get him mad about being in the city, and that way it's an easy trade in the offseason, something like that. I don't know.
Now, but what you said, it kind of it just sprung a thought that I want to kind of circle back a little bit to what I was saying before, right? Now, like you said, maybe things just aren't lined up to begin with, right? So, like, we hear all these different accounts. What I was saying earlier about why we picked Obi, you know, at that eight spot.
And, I mean, I've heard
and,
that too.
And what, right, exactly, and what you've said. So, maybe all along, the front office had multiple ways of thinking, right? And we're trying to implement each of their ways of thinking into what we have, you know, at different times. So, maybe just now it's splintering enough that we're starting to hear about it, but it always existed to begin with. You know what I'm saying? And like, again, they have, they're on the same page.
Yeah.
They're on the same page. Everybody has their own thoughts of how to make things better. I just think that each maybe is coming in a little bit more so than others at different times, you know?
So, again, and this is where I struggle with leadership, because at the end of the day, that's Leon Rose's job.
Right.
To take all of this advice, filter it all in, sit down with a sketch pad and devise a plan that incorporates all of this so that there's no bumping of heads, no, well, I would thank my guy or any of that, because, dude, that does that follow this plan?
Right.
You know?
And you cannot, and now, that being said, if that's the way you go, you cannot, you can't, you know, you can't go off track. You got to stick to it no matter what's happening on the court.
Right. Right.
And I mean, at some degree, sometimes
we haven't done that like in the last 15 plus.
Because
and
now
I was
at
hoping
the same time,
these guys was going to do that.
And Leon Rose isn't the coach, you know, so Leon could lay out this plan, get everything together, bring all this right together. But now Tibbs is also coaching his way, right? Because he's told, listen, I'm going to bring you all this, but you have to, you're the one who's going to coach what's on the floor.
Yeah, now that's fair. But again, why bring in a dimension that could cause discern or disarray if you're the regime hiring the person, bringing them in? Shouldn't that person be a person that you have that vision with?
I'm glad you said that, because that circles Cam Reddish. What do you know what I'm saying? What was the point? What are we doing, right?
Well, they're working him out, so I think he's a piece for the future as opposed to, you know, something for right now. And that's why Tibbs wasn't in a rush to play.
And now that's...
because it wasn't for this year. No, I don't... Again...
That's the balancing act.
I don't know if Cam is the problem. I think the
I'm not saying he is. But what I'm saying is you could see two different directions of thinking between win now, right? And and play for the future and build for the future. Because
but nobody should be win now. And because as you said earlier in the show, we were still in rebuild mode. We had a great year last year. Now, for
then
me,
we gotta stop playing like we're in win now mode.
I don't mean us to go to a win now mode. I mean us to go to a build on that building block. Where to me, if we were supposed to get a real point guard who maybe gives us 15 points a game, but plays good defense. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that person is not trying to hold on to the ball and do all kinds of stuff to get their stats up. They're literally looking to pass the ball and move it around and get that happening. But we didn't get that. You know what I mean? Why right. did we get Kemba? To me, when you do that, you're telling your coach, I don't really care how you win. This is how I want you to win.
Right.
And to me, that's a problem because you hired him to win a certain way. He won that certain way. And then for his prize, you give him something that he can't use. So to me, that sets us back as opposed to moves us forward. I'm not asking him to trade for Dame Lillard.
No. I think the Kemba thing was like,
we weren't ready for that at the beginning of the season.
No, no, no. We definitely weren't.
We were better than what we got.
I think that they just didn't have any other options out there. I think that, again, optics plays a role. They don't want to bring back Peyton again, right? Because even last year, not this year, last year, they didn't bring Peyton back right away. They brought him back close to, you know, before preseason was going to start right. because they were holding out to see what other
happened. They don't need to bring him back, but they could.
But what I'm saying is, I guess not. And now that circles us around to another question, right? Like if Leon Rose is CAA and you got, you know, World Wide West in the building, like what are all these connections really
about
bringing us?
Or for if you can't bring us nobody.
Right.
And honestly, now, I think they were looking to save cap is why they brought Kemba in.
I think so too.
I mean, honestly, I feel like they might be looking long range.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right, I don't want to invest too much in this position right here, right now, because I know I want to invest more in it later.
Mm-hmm.
But when you bring in a guy who you know got degenerative knees, automatically you know he's not going to hold up in a Tibbs-run system.
Right.
Automatically. So even though it could save you cap money and it looked pretty, and you know what? He's a hometown guy, and if it works, this will be great. We need something that's going to help carry that momentum from last season into this year, guys. We don't need a hope and a prayer and a publicity thing. We yep. need a solid guy. We don't need to sell it. All they got to do is show up, put the uniform on, and play. That's what we need.
Man.
And I honestly feel like if we did that and kept Bullock and took Burks out, I feel... No, but again, I harp on the point guard position because a good point guard can do so much. I mean, just I keep going back to the Suns. They were discombobulated until Chris Paul got there. They had talent. They had a lot of young, great talent. They just didn't know how to play with each other. Until they got somebody that knew how to get them around, get that morale going, get some wins under their belt, and show them how to do it.
They did, though, bring it to a certain level.
They did. In the bubble, yeah. They. But you know what?
Like, they showed Chris Paul
I'm gonna say this, and everybody's going to get mad at me for saying this, because they're going to be like, see, Coach Father Homer. I feel like the Knicks had an opportunity to make the bubble, and they were shorted. And that's why Randall got mad and went and got the chains on and did all that stuff.
I think that was a big part of it, too.
But I feel like we could have made the bubble. And if we had, we weren't going to the finals. But I feel like that team would have made a bit more noise than where they did. And the right. feeling about this team would be a bit different. It wouldn't have been like fool's gold last year. It would have been more like, okay, see, we got into the bubble. We didn't do well, but we were getting there. And then this year, we made fourth seed. And then next year, we probably make fourth seed again or something like that. But you know what I mean? The steps, the incremental steps. I saw that with what's his name? Hoiberg, the last interim coach, whatever his name is. I forget now.
I think you're right. I think it was Hoiberg.
Fred, right? Fred Hoiberg. Mm-hmm. Something like that. There you go. You saw it. With RJ and a couple of pieces and Mitch, you saw it. You know what I mean? At the end, you just didn't. We just didn't have enough wins behind it to go any further. But you saw it.
Yep.
And then you saw it more intensified last year with that Tibbs run defense. And this year, the main difference between this year's team and last year's team is that defense to me. If we played that defense this year, we'd have more wins. But we don't. I mean, a lot of those games, we're sitting there looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone to games and we're sitting there like, how in the world is this happening?
I'm telling you, man, we overachieved last year, right? And because of that and the expectations it set for this year, you could say that we underachieved those expectations.
I think we just played underachieved this year.
I think we definitely did underachieve, 100%. I mean, I would
even
say
from
it
the year
across
before,
the board.
Even from the bubble, I feel like, because I don't feel like we're playing with the same heart and spirit that we played with last year every game.
But I'll tell you what, I feel like we're starting to find things. We're starting to find heart and spirit in certain games and certain situations. Now, are we blowing those games that we're coming out and take? Yes, but it still takes something to get us ahead, right? And I understand
yes, it does.
That.
Especially by 20, which is really irksome when we lose those games. 28 points, 26
and,
points.
And a lot of those times.
Stay whipping a tail, people.
Now, a lot of those games, right, that we're doing that, who are the catalysts behind it? You know, I feel like it's
honestly,
a lot of times.
It's weird because it's never one person.
No, but it's a collective, right?
Sometimes
it's a collective of guys.
Sometimes there was a few games. It was Mitch's defense. There was a few games where it was IQ. It was one or two where OB did something great in the third quarter and sparked everybody. There was a couple where Randall didn't actually turn the ball over and did a couple of great things on offense. I mean, it's sporadic, though.
Yes, it is. But
and
I feel like
you don't know who is going to. And the one thing that's been consistent is that the nobody on the other team has the greatest game of their life against us.
Oh, for sure. But that's just that goes. That just goes back in our history.
In the back, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope y'all ain't getting seizures with the right thing. I apologize.
Listen, as long as we're not talking like we're in the Matrix, sometimes you're going to get on the spaces and someone gets to the stage and like their speakers all messed up and it's like they're in, Star Wars or something.
True.
Yeah, so we good.
It's all mechanical voice, what happened? All right. He's like, all right, fam, just turn it down a bit.
Yeah. So let's take a little bit of a look, right? And because obviously, we all know that we have a tough schedule the rest of the way, but I know that we're not playing now until Wednesday, and Wednesday, we're running it back against the Sixers.
Great.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. That's Wednesday. Friday,
their home.
Friday night, we have the Suns at 10 p.m., and Sunday, we have the Clippers at 10 p.m.
Okay,
so,
that's a winnable game.
So why don't we – Let's promote this show and get it out there. And let's do a pregame podcast next week to lead us into that game right there against the Clippers.
Bang, bang. What time is the Clipper game?
10. So we'll go right from 9 to 10.
And bang, bang. And we'll be right into the Clipper game. That's
hell yeah.
Perfect.
So that'll be cool.
That'll be perfect. Hopefully we'll win that one so we'll have something positive to talk about the following week. But here's something funny. I think we take the Suns too.
Yeah. I feel like my first thought is shellacking. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
we've been putting up fights, so we'll see.
I mean, again, we beat Golden State, and I swore that was going to be a shellacking.
Yes, 100%, man. And little secret, I definitely put money on Randall to get the triple-dub that night, and he pulled through for me. I hit pretty nice that night. I did. I played the money line.
I would imagine so.
I played the money line. I won on that, too. It was...
Don't say this in public again, though, because people are going to start knocking on your door thinking you got money or something.
Yo, and I ain't giving no secrets, man. Don't be hitting me up asking for ideas for bets, all right?
There you go.
We got too much of that going on.
Oh,
so
I wanted... Did you see the lapel?
Other side. Unless...
Is it other
there,
side?
And I can't see it.
Go.
There it is. Yeah, dude, hold on. Where'd you get that, bro?
Damn, MSG's. Matter of fact... The last time we were together, I bought this.
I thought you got one of these guys. This is from my boy Naj, man. I'm actually going to post a picture on Twitter and put this out, right? This is a cool little pin. That's just the background, right? The court.
Yeah, that's fire.
So, yeah, man, I'm going to give this to my ticket rep, my guy Aaron, man. He's always hooking me up. So I'm going to, you know, throw it back a little bit, some love. You know, all the guys at MSG always rocking pins, you know, so got to hook them up when you can. So, listen, as we're nearing the 10 o'clock hour, why don't we kind of give some post-week thoughts, you know, like I guess heading into the week, you know, from what we see. Let's make it a little bit more specific. What do we want to see out of the rest of this season, even though we know we have a tough schedule ahead?
Listen, just keep coming out there with fire. Keep coming out there to play. You know, don't go into these with a defeatist mentality, even though the fan base might have one. You know, bro, go into it fighting and let the chips fall where they may.
I'm with you on that, man. That's exactly how I put it. When people ask me the same question, I don't care if we play, if we make the play-in. I don't care if we don't. I just want to see my guys go out there and play as hard as they can and hopefully show something to get us excited to continue building, because that's what we're in. We're in a build. It's not, doesn't happen overnight. So let's see what we got the rest of the way, and we'll readjust in the offseason. That's what it's for, right?
The only thing about this build is once you have pieces, you kind of have to start figuring out, okay, we're going to keep this piece, use this piece, keep this piece.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the organization is at a point yet where they actually know, honestly, more than one piece.
True.
You know, and if we're going to build, the first thing we got to do is figure that out so that we can start putting pieces around that to make that work.
Because
clearly putting the wrong pieces around just to have pieces doesn't work.
Well, I mean, from what we have right now, it's pretty apparent to me that we were building around Julius for the last season. You know, even though
I honestly think we're building around them both. I kind of feel like we're building around RJ too.
A little bit. But see, that's the problem, is it's like we have to have one clear vision. We can't be trying to do everything at once. You know,
I mean, again, a lot of these teams have two and three, you know, Giannis and Middleton. We built around both of them. One plays small forward, one is a power forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Built around them. Why can't we build around RJ and Randall? You know, I mean, all we need is a good quality point guard. We got a good center that's athletic, and put some other pieces around that can shoot a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? And do a couple more things to give both of these guys relief. You know, no one wins by themselves.
No, you're right. You're definitely right.
Build around one person does in this time in the NBA, to me, doesn't make as much sense. When
unless they don't mesh. Like, unless their games don't, you know what I mean?
I don't see that RJ and Randall don't mesh. I don't see that.
I see lately, I'm going to bring my buddy Buttalicious up to the stage because I've seen that he just joined us. Everybody that's watching, every week that we do these shows, I'm going to post the link underneath the video. So if you want to come up and participate in the show, just click that link. It's going to bring you backstage. And as soon as we have a chance, we'll pop you right into the show and you can get your takes off. So before we're out, because I know we were looking to cut off at 10, I'm going to bring Buttalicious up here and see what he wants to chat about. So let's do that real quick, man.
What's up, my guy? How you doing?
Hi, man. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm just bummed out, dude. It's the losses just keep mounting. It's just a tough time to be a Knicks fan right now. But, you know, I just wanted to comment on Randall and Barrett meshing. I agree with Coach. I don't think they mesh. I don't think there's like a natural high five, back
slap. You agree with me, actually.
Yeah, you agree with Danny.
Oh, I agree with you. Okay, then I agree with you. My bad. I just came on late, so I didn't get to catch all your takes. But
it's all good, man.
I don't see Randall and Barrett having that chemistry. They don't seem to be like, it's kind of like it's all business. There's no camaraderie, you know. And I think that's a tough way to win. I think you guys got to have those two players really locked in. You know, KD and Kyrie. How do you think they're locked in? Those guys are boys. They're hanging out. They're texting each other out off the court. Those guys are tight, you know. And I don't see that with Barrett and Randall. I don't want to be talking about them either, man. But let's be real.
I'm just saying they hardly played together this year.
But you know they're boys. You know they're boys. You know when playoffs come and they're healthy, they're gonna turn it on. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. I hate it.
That's because they're also old world players too. They're also like extremely great players too. I don't necessarily put RJ or Randall in the category of KD or Kyrie.
Of course not. But I'm saying from a chemistry perspective,
like the camaraderie piece.
Yes, like being
again. I guess I hear you.
Like I just don't see that connection between those two. You know, like. And just to go off on Randall right now, he's lazy out there. He's just – I'm so disappointed with Julius Randall this year. We need more from our star. We need more from our highest-paid player. You know, there's times where he just looks lost on defense. There's no communication. The team defense has taken the biggest hit this year. That's the thing we did better than anyone last year. And who was key to that? Nerlens Noel. He also hasn't been out there.
Yeah, he's been hurt. We talked about him at the beginning of the show. He's been hurt all year and very, very disappointing. Agreed.
Now, right before we jumped on the show at 9 o'clock, I saw a tweet from Bondi saying something about plantar fasciitis, but he wasn't listed on any injury report, so who knows what's going on with that.
He's out, and I don't know. I don't think we're going to see him again this season.
Yeah, I don't think Noel's going to make it out there much. I mean, he seemed to have got the bag, and now, you know, I'm sure he has a legitimate injury, but look, it's killing us not having him because Mitch is in foul trouble constantly. I mean, tonight the refs were just blowing the whistle like crazy, man. Every time they went to the rack or fell, they blew the whistle. You know, Embiid had a career high in makes and attempts at the free throw line. I mean, like that's what more do I need to say?
Like that. Like, come on, how are you going to get him to the line 25 times? Come on.
That was painful to watch. I mean, that was just painful to watch. You know, I thought we had a chance. I think the score was like 91-88. You know, I remember we were close. We seemed to be fighting, but then Sims...
We took the lead at one point.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it was, in my humble opinion, when we lost the bigs, Embiid went off and game over.
Yep. And that was on a lot of ticky-tack foul calls. Mitch had a couple ticky-tack foul calls. I know you can always say... Oh, the refs this, oh, the refs that. And it's an unpopular take, but I really thought today the refs sucked badly.
I agree.
Listen, I'm totally with you because a lot of people say that it's bad to lean on the refs, but it's a valid point from time to time. You know what I mean? Like,
sometimes they have to be called out on their folly. You know?
They gotta face the media. I think that's the biggest change the NBA needs to make is these refs need to face the music, talk to the reporter.
You know, they've been slowly doing that. Yeah. They've been slowly doing it. I've been noticing that there's a Twitter account now called like NBA Officials, and they've been posting who's going to be the officials before each game, right? I've been seeing them post out mid games, you know, who's at this game. We want to get your take on what, you know, you've seen, you know, through your eyes from a referee's perspective. Like it looks like they're trying to get more, more commentary on, you know, what they have going on, I guess more feedback from the outside world to try to fix things internally, because they had a big meeting also about a year ago in terms of when they started changing up the rules and how they were going to start calling things. If you remember the beginning of the season, they were letting a lot of things go overall, you know, and it started tightening up as the season went.
I remember players were complaining. They're like, we got to get, you know, a foul is a foul.
It was great. It was complaining because they're a softer
version. I liked it being let go.
I bet viewership went up.
It probably did.
It did. Because
I'll tell you what, man.
We were seeing a more physical game again, and it was good to see. With those free
throws tonight, man, I was falling asleep. I couldn't believe how long the game went. Like, goddamn.
But I know I've been kind of negative, so I want to say something positive. I love our boy RJ Barrett. I'm proud of him. Right. He's playing hard. He's playing D. Jimmy Butler singing his praises in the media. I mean, RJ Barrett is putting out, no matter what, every month he's gotten better. So let's just say a prayer and hope that he continues this trajectory because he looks great out there. He's the Maple Mamba. He's got that mentality.
Definitely, man. He has that killer instinct. And it's something that's exactly why I want to see more of Deuce. I feel like Deuce has a similar aspect of that mentality, right? Like, he brings that ultimate intensity every time he touches the floor. And, you know, like we said all show, screaming point guard, you got a guy here, it's the end of the season, start throwing him out there, start showing him, you know, let me see what he's got, You know, start giving them some runs and, you know, give them the opportunity to start finding some, you know, rhythm with these guys, some mesh. And, you know, I just, like I said earlier, man, what are we doing? We gotta figure out what exactly we're doing. You know, I'll take the Sims minutes as a first step. Coach, are you frozen over there? Are you blinking?
No,
there you go.
I'm listening.
I'll take Sims minutes as a first step, but we gotta see more. We gotta see more, man. We lost 15 of our last 18 games.
I'm always the contrarian because I've seen more. Grimes is a fixture. We're forgetting him because he's been a fixture.
He had to get an opportunity. He got the opportunity.
But he's been running with it. Tibbs is not, I don't play the kids. It's, I got to trust you with the game on the line.
He also has reason.
But he trusts Grimes with the game on the line, and he did that early.
He does, but that's because
now he's giving Sims run when he did that against Miami when he was the first guy in, and then I never saw Taj or Nerlens again.
I don't know. Like, with Sims, I look at it like Tibbs is like, okay, front office is coming to me, and they want me to start, you know, changing things up a little bit. What's the easiest thing I could do without, you know, throwing what I'm trying to do off the rails? Oh, I'll just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that's a way to see that if you want to be like, well, Tibbs doesn't really care.
He's throwing a bone.
But if he actually sees what I think he sees in Sims, it's just now that the season doesn't matter. He was scared to put him
in. We've been keeping that guy on the bench all season, though.
Let me finish.
Come on.
Let me finish. I'm sorry. Sims was raw as heck. So, yeah. I'm sorry, when the game on the line and all that, I don't necessarily want Sims in the game. But now that the games don't matter as much, throw him out there and let him learn.
Well, that's exactly why I want to see
Deuce. I agree 100%.
So, I mean, that's why I want to see Deuce.
I don't know if I wanted to see it earlier on, especially if we still had a chance in this season. I'm not really wanting to.
And not to mention, you got Mitch, who's pretty fragile as it is. Do we want to have him getting, you know, all these minutes and getting hurt in a meaningless game when we can't even make a playoff run? Or do we want to give some more burn to our youth and see what we got?
Now, if Tibbs was being Tibbs, you would have saw Nerlens in him or Taj.
He's throwing a bone.
If he was still trying to win these games, he would have put the guys that he thinks he could win these games in with. But he knows he's not going to win these games, so now it's time to see if we need to see about another backup center or is Sims our guy going forward.
Yep.
So I think that's a great thing that he did, and it showed me that he's really looking to the younger pieces. If Grimes was not hurt, he'd be in there right now.
Oh, 100%. He would have been wrong.
The kids. This is what I hear when I say play the kids. I'm hearing Deuce. They're just not saying his name is Deuce.
I'm saying everybody. I want to see Obi have more than 8 minutes a game. I want to see Deuce get some kind of a burn.
I swear for goodness. I want him to play more too, but I want him to play well in the minutes he got.
Definitely, I'm with you, but that requires him not standing on the line at three and just waiting for the ball. You know, it requires
him to cut and move and be fluid and things happen.
That's not his game, man. Like, you saw that one game where Mitch took that one step, did a Euro step, cut inside, slammed it in, right? Why doesn't he do that more often? I feel like they're scared to do something, make a mistake, because Tibbs is going to yank him right out.
But you know, he did more in the middle of the season, man, and he was moving and cutting and doing better stuff.
And yes, so, and that's when he was – so why did he stop?
Because, again, just he got Kevin Knox syndrome. He gets beat on D too much. Now, he does have the shortest leash of them all. Yes.
No 100%. Doubt.
But I think, honestly, that's because Tim sees the most in him.
I think IQ's got a pretty short leash, bro.
Nah, not this season.
He's still got a longer leash
than
Obi.
He got a way longer leash.
IQ look good tonight, so we can say
tonight,
that positive.
But I'm actually mad that he gets the leash he gets, because half of those fake Trae Young shots he throws up kills me. Like, dude, step in about 2 more feet before you shoot that shot. Calm down.
I agree. He takes some bonkers shots.
You know,
man.
But like, Tibbs will leave him in the game after that.
You know,
Obi missed a defensive set, and then he on the bench.
That's just because we got no point guards left. If Rose was healthy, if we had a healthy rotation of point guards, that leash would be a lot shorter. So it's just one of those things that IQ has a long leash now. But if he was taking those shots with D-Rose healthy, you know Tibbs be pulling his ass right away.
I also think he won't be pulling as much of them because with D-Rose on the court, he also orchestrated the offense in such a way that Quick didn't have those crazy looks like that often. Like, they were more calculated.
Quick was still on the court when D-Rose was on the court, so he's still going to get his minutes.
Do you remember there was one time tonight where it would have been a really deep three-pointer? It looked like he was going to take it. He changed his mind last minute.
Yes.
It was the elbow extended on the right side of the court.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there was one play Fournier did something similar to that. And I was just thinking, like, is he taking a page out of IQ's book where he pulled the ball back out pretty much, came out to the three line, and he hit the shot. You know, I was just thinking, of course, it went in, but it was just such an IQ type of play. You know what I mean? And to see Fournier do it, it was quite interesting because he was already going into the paint and he just pulled right back out to the three, sidestep shot. And I was okay.
I don't know what it is. Whenever Quickly plays against the Sixers with Tyrese Maxey, he's got his boy from college. He plays to another level.
When IQ plays Maxey, he's got the Moxie.
That's a good quote.
He definitely does, man. It's those types of games, man. But it's like we got to battle that, and I got to get that from everybody every game, you know?
Yes. And that's been the problem this year is the consistency of the level of effort.
100%. Bootylicious, I definitely want to thank you for coming through, man. I wasn't expecting that. It was last minute, so thank you. I know I sent you guys the link out there, so that was cool. Anytime that you want to come through, you're more than welcome, man. I appreciate
it. Every Sunday night, brother.
I really appreciate that, man. It's a pleasure to be on. I'm actually on vacation in North Carolina right now, and we're just packing up, getting ready to leave tomorrow, and I was like, I'm going to hop on the show. This will be worth my time for sure.
Safe journeys, man. Safe travels.
Appreciate that, fellas. Absolutely, bro, man.
Safe home, bro. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, we will. See you in the chat, man.
Definitely, bro. Be good. So, another week of the Knicks Corner Pod, man. And
yes,
we touched on a lot of topics. We really went around the wheel here.
Well, that's what we do, man. We hit all the angles, or as many as we can.
You know what? I feel like I need a board here so I could spin it, you know, and just land on a topic. Boom, and that's what we talk about next, you know?
Yo, you know what? You'd be the one next week, and you got a spinner. Yep.
Yeah, I got a topic wheel.
I can see you doing that, bro, and that's all right by me.
Tell me about it, man. So anything that you got going on this week you want to talk to the fans about?
Same old stuff, more candid corners, more Knicks minutes. You know how it is. You know how I'll be. I probably am not going to drop a Knicks minute on this game since I talked about it tonight.
So, right.
I've been able to exercise these demons. So,
there you go, man. That's what's up. I'm gonna probably put up a little something tomorrow morning just to promote the show a little bit, you know. Yeah. And that's about it, really. So, like I said, Wednesday night we got a game. We're running it back against the Sixers. Friday night we got the Suns. Next Sunday night, me and your fine self, Coach Fire, we're gonna lead these fine people into the Clipper game at 10 p.m. So we'll be here 9 p.m. If you're listening to this, stay tuned. Check out the links on YouTube, on Twitter. There's going to be links in those comments where you can click right on them and come on to the show. Bring your takes, and we'll talk about it all. And have a grand old time, as Coach and I always do.
Indeed, y'all.
Get those
and until
on, bro.
Next week, it's your main man, Coach Fry.
And Danny B. Enjoy the week. Be good. Coach always says.
Be better.
Yes, sir. Adios, y'all.
Orange and blue, coursing through your whole spirit.
Your whole spirit.
That bright lights be hotter than a sauna.
Out. Yo, I'm out.